Good morning. Good to see everybody. If you turn over to 102, let's stand up. Turn over to 102. We'll get started. Amen. Good to see everybody. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Grace more than we deserve. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, offers sufficient grace for even me. Greater than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Early. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, greater than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By his transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Greater than the truth of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Just too early, I couldn't hit that note. Too early, sorry.
You did a pretty good job of reaching that.
We tried.
Nearly have to stand on your tiptoes. Praise his name. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's what a lot of folks are doing in heaven today. I'm going to be preaching in just a little while about the joys of heaven, and that's one of them. When we're in heaven, we're going to do an awful lot of singing. Amen. We're going to do an awful lot of praying. Just think, we'll be talking face to face with God. We'll be able to see him, and we'll be able to talk to him. It's going to be wonderful. And this morning, we're going to let Brother Lancaster do the talking to God for us, if you will. Brother Lancaster, lead us in prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And it's good to see you today. And it's comfortable in here. And God is with us. God is with us. Amen. Come on. He is. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there he is. He's with us today. Even Joyce is with us. Glad to have Joyce with us again, too. If that's a suntan she's wearing today, it's because she's been out in the desert. Amen? Yeah. How's it been out in the desert this summer? All right. Anyway, we're glad to have all of you here today in our service. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. And we're going to start it off with some Bible reading. Who's going to read the Bible for us this morning? All right. And he comes up here without his Bible, and he's reaching in his pocket. I want you to watch this, Mac. You got your eyes open? All right.
I have it memorized.
He's got it memorized. I like that.
All right, so let's read from Romans 8:28.
What version?
King James.
Amen.
Okay. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thanks, Pat. You got one on the Bible, David?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's good to have it. Have it with you.
How many languages can you get on that?
I'm not sure. I just focus on trying to get English right.
All right.
Have a hard enough time doing that. Could you turn over to 440? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. How I love to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and from sin and self to cease. Now from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, he'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen, amen. Turn over to 660, and would you all stand, please? And would the ushers please come at the end of the song? There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there's sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there's sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Amen.
I remember going down to a church in San Diego one time, and I admired the way that they took up an offering. They had a table over here, two people sitting there, and as the ushers, they didn't have ushers, these men were the ushers, and the people would all, they were standing, and then after they had the offertory prayer, the people came out a row at a time, and they put their tithes and offerings in the plate up here, and as they put their money in the plate, these men who were sitting there were counting it. And then whenever everybody had been by, they would hand a piece of paper up to the pastor, who would stand here in the pulpit, and he would look at that, and you could tell by the expression on his face whether it was enough. And if it wasn't enough, he would look down there at those two men and he would shake his head. And the song leader would stand up and say, "All right, everybody stand. We're going to sing another verse of song." And they did. And then after that was over, he gave them a chance to come by again. And then whenever they reached their quota, they would hand the paper up to the preacher, and he would nod his head if it was enough, and everybody would say, "Amen." No, but boy, they got a new parking lot paved, and they got new windows and doors. Anyway, I just remembered that as you were giving. Appreciate the gifts and offerings of God's people, because we just wrote a bunch of checks for our missionaries. Anyway, it's good to be here. Glad that you're here. And if Johnny will come up here, we'll let him sing. Amen? I know that he's got one because I saw him giving the CD that's got the music on it back there a while ago. Technical difficulties. With Johnny, it's a technical difficulty.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. You know, last week I sang about God's love calling me. This morning, I want to sing about Him coming and finding me. When I think about this wonderful salvation, how one day my blinded eyes were made to see. I was dead in sin, but to me life was given. When I could not go to Him, He came to me. For He found me. Oh, He found me. When I was lost and oh so helpless, my Jesus found me. With His tender love, He sought me. By His precious blood, He bought me. Oh, what a Savior, He found me. Now listen. What He saw in me, I may never know the answer. His amazing grace and love will ever be. Not so unmerited of His mercy and His favor. When I could not love Him, oh, He loved me. Now He loved me. Oh, He loved me. When I was lost and oh so helpless, my Jesus loved me. Now, in ages past, He knew me, and with cords of love, He drew me. Now, oh, what a Savior, He loved me. Now, He loved me. Now, listen, when I was lost and oh so helpless, now my Jesus loved me. With His tender love, He sought me. By His precious blood, He bought me. I said, oh, what a Savior, He loved me. I said, oh, what a Savior, now He came and found me. Yes, He did, Pastor. He came and found me. I was lost in my sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when you talk about singing and praise, you didn't see nothing. Yet. What can I get on? Praise God. I'm going out.
All right. Thank you, Brother Johnny, for that song. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. I want to share with you the first three verses of this chapter. And remind you of tonight's service. 6 o'clock. By the way, Wednesday, in our study of the tribulation period, let's see, last Wednesday night we studied about all of those people that missed the rapture going to get to meet their God face to face. We talked about Satan. And we talked about the Antichrist. Because those people that are left behind at the rapture, they're going to get what we call a strong delusion. And if you ever had a strong delusion, you know what it's all about. But you've never had one that's going to be stronger than this one. This is going to be so strong that you're going to actually believe that Antichrist died for your sins. And that Antichrist is going to save you, save your immortal soul. And you're going to stand in line to receive his mark. Wouldn't it be something if we gave marks out today? Somebody comes in here and they say, "Preacher, I want to be a Baptist." And we'd have a big old stamp in here. We'd stamp Baptist right across your forehead. And when you walked out of here, everybody would know that you're a Baptist. And if you're a little bit shy, we'd put it in your right hand, so that you could close it up like that, nobody could see it. They wouldn't know you're a Baptist, see. They just have to guess it since they saw you coming out of a Baptist church. But the Antichrist is going to have his mark. And whenever he puts his mark on you, you're going to be so proud to wear his mark. Because you've received that strong delusion. And we're going to be talking about that Wednesday evening. But this morning we're going to be talking about the joys of heaven. Listen at this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Now who's the me? This is Jesus talking. Jesus talking. Then he says, in my Father's house. Who's his Father? God. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, it gets me, some of these new Bibles that they're putting out don't have mansions in them. They put dwelling places. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to have an apartment. I'm going to have a mansion. Jesus said so. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again. That's the last thing he said over there on top of Mount Olivet. These men stood there dressed in white apparel as Jesus went up. And they said to those disciples, said, "Don't worry, guys. This same Jesus that's taken away is going to come in like manner as you've seen him go." Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, we like to sing that old song, "When we all get to heaven." I don't know what number that is, but we ought to sing that sometime, Brother David. "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing That will be when we all see Jesus. It's going to be wonderful. And it's true. I meet so many people today who are looking forward with great expectation to that day when they die and are ushered into the presence of God. My little old brother called me from Dallas a couple of mornings ago. I just love to get his telephone calls because, as you know, there's 2 hours difference between San Diego and Dallas. And he's already been up and had breakfast. Guess what his big brother's doing? He's still asleep. He calls me and wakes me up. After I'd taken a sleeping pill or medicine that puts you to sleep the night before, and I was so groggy I didn't know where I was, I could have been in the next room of his house. And he reminded me at the end of the conversation, he says, I've been talking to you for 53 minutes. You like being woken up whenever you're under the influence of sleeping pills and things like that. Early in the morning, the sun's not even up out here. And he talks to you for 53 minutes. Don't ask me what he talked about. I've already forgotten. Anyway, his wife died, you know, about 6 months after mine did. And he was telling me, he says, every day, says, I pray to God that I could die. He says, I don't have anything to live for anymore. I just want to die. Well, I kind of know how he feels. Because to die is gain. It's going to be wonderful. That's the only way we can get to heaven, by the way. But these people that want to die, they're living a life of misery, full of complaints. Life is a drag. Now, just like them, I expect to go to heaven when I die. So, I read the book of Revelation, and I get all excited when I read over there about that city that has mansions in it. That city with foundations, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus says. And I get all excited over the prospect of reunion with my loved ones and all of my friends that have gone on. And when I meet with all of these people that I read about in the Bible, I get excited about that. And I get excited about the thought of immortality, having an energetic, healthy, new body. I get excited about being in a place where there's going to be no pain and no sorrow, no sickness and no death, and where we'll never grow old. Time shall be no more, and there'll be no night there. I get excited when I think about that. And I look forward to the time when I shall see Jesus, whom my eyes shall behold and not another. I've seen him by faith. but I long to see him in reality, don't you? I long to see what an angel really looks like. I read about them in the Bible, but I've never seen any unless I've entertained them unawares, like the Bible says. That's going to be interesting, isn't it? You meet one of the angels, you say, "Hey, I know you. I saw you one time." He says, "You sure did. You didn't even know I was an angel." He says, "We've entertained them unawares." And I haven't the slightest idea what a cherubim looks like. I wouldn't know the difference between a cherubim and a seraphim if somebody wasn't there to tell me what they are. But I know that they're kind of like angels. One of them, I've forgotten now which one it is, it got 6 wings. I don't know if that's sets of wings or just 6, which would be 3 sets. I get excited about these things. I get excited about seeing people like Moses. And about Noah, we preached about Noah last week, remember? The first cruise, Noah. And David, Solomon, those Old Testament prophets, those priests, those kings of Israel. The New Testament apostles. See all 12 of them at one time, one shot. I want to see all these people. I want to see the thousands of great personalities throughout the ages who have held high the blood-stained banner of Jesus, who have preached, and thousands of souls have come into the kingdom of God because of their faithfulness, their loyalty to the one that called them into the ministry. So the prospect of going to heaven when I die is like that proverbial carrot that's held out in front of the donkey that keeps him pulling the cart and going forward. But make no mistake about it. Ever since 1940, 75 years ago, can you imagine? That's when I was saved. I've been saved for 75 years. And I'll tell you what, during those 75 years that I've known the Lord Jesus Christ, I have seen and enjoyed a lot of heaven. Oh, I tell you, it's been a wonderful life that God has given me. And I've enjoyed a lot of that heaven on earth. And I want to point out some of those things today to you, just in case you haven't noticed them. I want to call your attention to them so that you can enjoy and get more pleasure out of your life than you're getting right now. Okay? I don't know when it was or how it was or the circumstances under which you came to know Jesus. Now, I've heard Johnny talk about it up here. He tells it nearly every time when he gets up here to sing. And I love hearing it. I love to hear people talk about their first encounter with Jesus Christ. But you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be saved. But we're not going to be any more saved when we get to heaven and knock on that gate, that gate of pearl, and say, "Saint Peter, let me in." We're not going to be any more saved then than we are right now. When you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, you were saved. You were born again. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and those old things passed away. Behold, all things became new, and you are just as saved right now as you will be when you get to heaven. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be saved. You're saved right now. We know it now by faith. We'll know it then by reality. We'll look Jesus in the face and we'll smile and say, "I made it." That'll be reality. We're seeing Jesus. We know that we're saved, but we'll never be any more saved than we are right now. The very moment that we trusted Him as our personal Savior, we entered into that great forgiveness that lasts forever throughout all eternity. Now, I will point out to you that there are three aspects of salvation. There's past, present, and future. We have been saved from the penalty of our sins. That's past. You and I were saved from the penalty of our sins when Jesus Christ was hanging yonder outside Jerusalem on that old cross. Because He took our place. He paid the penalty for our sins with His own blood that He shed, so that you and I might be saved. That's called justification. That's past. We are being saved at the present time from sin. We're being saved from the power of sin. That's present. Because sin now has no more dominion over us. Its power is broken. We have the Holy Spirit within us that bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, and that the power of sin is broken, and that's called sanctification. We've been justified. We are being sanctified. But there's an aspect of salvation that is yet future. And that's what we call glorification. And that is when we are saved from the very presence of sin. Because you read in the book of Revelation over there that there's going to be no sin in that city that we're going to. We're saved from the presence of sin. That's glorification. Now we can already now enjoy two aspects of our salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's now. And insofar as salvation is concerned, we are enjoying these two aspects of it already, two-thirds of it. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus, right? We're going to see Jesus, whom our eyes shall behold and not another, the Bible says. But did you know that we will never be any closer to Jesus than we are right now? Right now. Our relationship with him is here in this 14th chapter, verse 20. Jesus says here, I, speaking of himself now, I am in the Father. He said, you, that's us who are saved, you are in me. I am in him, yes. Where is he? He is in the Father. Well, if I am in him and he is in the Father, where am I? I'm also in the Father, right? I'm in the Father, you're in me. And he said, I am in you. Jesus in me? Yes. The hope of glory. Think of that. Is there a closer relationship with that than that? I mean, if he is in me and I am in him and he is in the Father and the Father is in him, can there be any closer relationship? And that's something we are now. Right now. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says that we are members of his body. Think of your body. It has a head. Jesus is the head of the body. You're not the body. You're not the head. Jesus is the head. We're members of his body. What's the members? My hands, my arms, my legs, my feet. The body's got a whole lot of parts, doesn't it? What does he say? We are the hands, the arms, and the legs of his body, of which he is the head. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Can you even imagine a closer relationship with God than that? Jesus couldn't. That's his illustration of it. Many of us are like the Apostle Philip. in this same chapter here down in verse 8. Philip was thinking the same thing you are. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We'll be satisfied. Show us the Father. We want to see God. So did Moses. He's up on top of Mount Sinai. Israel's just been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. God's called him up there with him. 40 days and 40 nights he stayed up there on the mountaintop with God and didn't get to see him. Why? Because the mountaintop was shrouded with darkness. Thunderings and lightnings and all such phenomena as that. And finally, Moses could not stand it any longer. He said, God, I want to see you. No man has seen God at any time. You heard me talk to you down at the foot of the mountain at the burning bush. Yeah, but God, I want to see you. I want to see what you look like. And God said, all right, I'll show you a little bit of me. And so he put him in the cleft of the rock. God, I can't see through this rock. I got my face up against the rock. God said, keep it there. I'm going to pass by you. That's as close as you're going to see me. And so God passes by. And Moses couldn't help it, but he had to sneak a peek. And he peeked as God went by, and all he saw was his backside. He saw his glory. And that glory so implanted itself upon his face. He didn't even know it, but his face was just glowing when he went down among people that had normal eyesight. He had to wear a veil over his face. They couldn't look at him because looking at him and his face would reflect the glory of God's backside. That they couldn't stand it. It was like looking at the noonday sun. It was so bright. He had to wear a veil over his face. Jesus said to Philip, he said, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. Causing John to write, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld his glory because that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Somebody's going to say, yes, in heaven, we will see the eternal presence of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, and that's our physical bodies, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we're willing rather to be absent from the body, that's this present body, this physical body, and to be present with the Lord. Absent from, present with. That's fine. what about Matthew 14, verse 18? We're still in John. I said Matthew. Well, I do want Matthew. Matthew 18, verse 20. Let's go to that first. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. Where is God? There am I in the midst of them. We are enjoying the presence of God right now, this very moment. Either that or take your Bible and throw it in the trash can. It's either true or it isn't. In John 14, verse 18, that's the one I mentioned before. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28, 20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Look back over your life. Can you truthfully say that since you've been a Christian, there are or have been times when Jesus was not with you? Think back over all the way back to the time you were saved. Has there ever been a time when Jesus was not with you? Now, if he wasn't with you, where was he? Where did he go when he left you? Did he really break his promise? Come on now, I don't think that in your heart you believe that at all. You know it isn't so. He is with us always, all the time. He dwells within us. You can't find a closer relationship with God than that. Brother Johnny sang about the love of God. Think about God's love. God can never love us any more than he does right now. You could stay there in his presence until your whole body is glowing like Moses' face was, and you won't be any closer or any further from the love of God than you are right now. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us with an eternal love. A love that began before the world was created. A love that is as enduring as all time and eternity. That's the kind of love God has for you. And he demonstrated that love at Calvary, when he spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all. And when we get to heaven, I hope our capacity to appreciate that love is greater than it is now. And I hope that our response to his love will be greater than it is now. But forever in heaven, forever, when we view the love scars of his body, we will be constantly reminded of his sacrificial love. So we can enjoy the love of God now as much as we can when we get to heaven. And we can enjoy the fellowship of the people of God as much now as we will when we get to heaven. One of the fringe benefits of being a Christian, I think, is the privilege of gathering together with kindred spirits, associating with our brothers and sisters in Christ, who, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In this world system, we've got 7 billion people on the face of this earth. 7.2 billion. And a lot of those people on the face of this earth don't like each other. Did you know that? There's people that don't like you that don't even know you exist. And there are people that you don't like and you've never met them. How do we know? Well, I think that is manifest by all the hatred, by all the killing, the stealing, myriad of different ways. But in the Christian society, we ought not to think that way. Just think, if you don't like someone now, here on earth, what makes you think you're going to like them when you get to heaven? Is there some magic, something that's going to change in death that makes somebody likable that you despise right now? If it is, let me know what that is. Is there some magic in the grave that I've never heard about that's going to change my attitude towards some Christian brother or sister and make me like someone then that I don't like now? My, how miserable it would be in heaven if when we check in at the golden gate, he's going to say, all right, I'm sending you over to mansion number so-and-so on such and such an avenue. Wonderful! I'm going to get my mansion on that golden street. And then you get in your limousine and you drive up there to it, and your neighbor over there comes out to see you, and it's somebody that you didn't like down here. My God, am I going to have to live here with this person for eternity? And you call this heaven? Think about it. If you don't like them now, what kind of change is going to take place to make you like them then? It's going to have to be a change in your attitude, your conduct, your character. But we're going to have lots of fellowship up there, even if I don't like you. Amen. I tell you. I'll tell you something else you can have here in this life that you'll have in heaven. That's peace. What did Jesus say? John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you. Read your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? Why are you telling us this, Jesus? That in me you might have peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And you can only have the peace of God when you have peace with God. And that's when your sins are pardoned and washed away and cleansed and you're forgiven. There are multitudes of people today that have troubled hearts. Hearts that are burdened and agonizing because they don't have peace with God. They need to come to the cross. And they need the forgiveness that is promised, that has been purchased at the price of our Savior's blood. Blotted out, reconciled to God. And having peace with God, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace in our heart. Then there's one facet of heaven that we'll never see on earth. What is that? Can you imagine? How about reunion? There's not a day goes by. What I don't think about reunion. During the 65 years that I've been in the ministry, I have made a lot of Christian friends. And in 65 years, there's been a lot of my Christian friends that have beat me to heaven. They got there before I did. But I'll catch up with them one of these days. And what a time that will be. Oh, that will be glory for me, I'll tell you. It may be my dad and mother. I think of them as a pair, as a team, because they're buried right next to one another. And I can't think of resurrection. We're thinking about them. They'll be coming out of the grave at the same time. And I'll be thinking about Charles, my little brother. I was 17 when he was born. 17 is a good age to have a little baby brother, I'll tell you. He beat me to heaven. I'll see him one of these days. What a joy that will be. Maybe it's a spouse, a brother or a sister, a Christian brother or sister, one of your dear friends. We miss them now. And that reunion will not take place until we get to heaven. But we'll see them then. And it'll be worth it all when we do. It's going to be such a joy to see the Lord and to meet him in glory. But there's a lot of heaven that we're missing out on today, because of our spiritual ignorance. Let's enjoy some of the blessings of heaven. It can only be done in Christ. He's the one that brings us all together. He's the one that makes it happen. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer and an invitation. Somebody here may not be ready. I don't know your heart. God does. Remember that He's here with us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed word. We thank you that we can enjoy these aspects of heaven right now. There may be someone in this congregation that I've spoken to this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They may not be saved. They might not have the assurance that when they die, they will go to heaven. I pray today, Father, that they will put their faith and trust in Jesus if they've not done it already, so they'll be ready to enjoy the things of glory even before we get there. Thank you, Father, for giving us these things in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for reaching down and touching our heart and opening our spiritual eyes that we might know the reality of these things that our heart embraces today only by faith. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the number?
540.
540. 540. Will you let him have his way? Will you come today? Will you come? Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Sing another verse, please. Have thine own way, Lord. Will you come today? Will you come? Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for the attention you gave to the preaching of God's Word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of the Lord has revealed to your heart today some of these precious truths that we've talked about in our message today. I hope that what we've said has brought you that much closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, we want to thank God for His blessings. We want to thank God for His Word and for the privilege that we have to meet together with Him. And as we pray, Brother Roger Delisle, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?